Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Yeah.
And Ryan.
Boys, I'm cracking one open for the great Pete Rose, who is now eligible for the Hall, and I'm taking any and all bets that he gets in this next inductee class.
I'm going to
gamble on Pete Rose getting inducted.
It sounds like you're, you know, I'm assuming you have like a canister there, like a soda of just piss, because you're obviously taking the piss right now, because fuck Pete Rose, one of the best baseball players ever to do it. That motherfucker had every opportunity to fix this shit. They made like a billion fucking deals with him to come back in, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't agree to any of it. It's not like they wanted him back in, but they didn't want to take him back in like, you know, nothing.
Yeah, but Major League Baseball.
But to wait till he's fucking dead, dude. To wait till he's dead to do it, fuck you. Like, if the dude died and you didn't change your mind, and then him dying makes you change your mind, what the fuck's the purpose? The person it would matter to the most is fucking gone.
My favorite Pete Rose story from the recent Dollop like multi-part series on him.
Oh God!
Is that when he had a paternity suit against him, he had his like gopher go grab the paper from his doorstep so his wife didn't see it. Like that was going to be the only place where the news was going to be in the newspaper.
That's fucking awesome!
Unbelievable! What an idiot!
Didn't call him Charlie Hustle for nothing.
Speaking of idiots, today we're doing an episode on me.
Are we doing an episode on Pete Rose?
No, we're not doing an episode on Pete Rose, Steve.
Womp womp. He's technically a historical figure. We could.
I ask this guy every fucking week, and he always says the same thing. I don't think he respects Charlie Hustle. To be honest with you.
When he gets into the Hall of Fame, we'll do a multi-part episode on him.
So there is a honey bun. I forget what the name of the company is that makes the honey bun, but there's a honey bun that has Pete Rose's likeness, like, or Pete Rose on it with like his little signature. It's like the Pete Rose honey bun. I really struggled for the longest time to like find the connection between iced honey buns and Pete Rose.
Is this like a honey bun that you get in like a convenience machine?
Yeah. They've got one. It was like William the Refrigerator Perry was like on the bear claw, I think.
I used to love convenience.
Like somebody else on like a cookie.
Snack machine foods.
What is the connection here? How did
you know those honey buns you could get in those snack machines?
The Big Texas? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. Bro, it was so delicious. Like you'd get it and you'd be like, you know, I really shouldn't get this, but God damn if I'm not gonna, you know.
I'm fixing to fuck this up anyway.
What's your go-to if you don't get that, though? For me, it's the three-pack of, like, the yellow pack of Linden's cookies. You know what I'm talking about? The little three-packs?
Yeah.
Banging. Banging.
They're delicious, dude.
Banging. Anyway, so what about Pete Rose now in this episode?
All I'm saying is we need to start a wager to see who will get in the Hall first. Lenny Dykstra or Pete Rose?
Lenny's not going to get it. He can't afford to do it because he spent all his fucking money.
Oh, I lied, guys. I lied. It's Snack Legends is the name of the thing, and it's Pete Rose's he's got glazed donut holes, and then he also has, like, cookies?
That's what he did to Keanu Kim. He glazed those donut holes, bro.
But I specifically remember... Dude, I specifically remember these cookies right here with that face on it. Like, I can vividly see these things, and I used to have those when I was younger.
Oh, man.
But I think they were peanut butter creams, not chocolate ones that I had. It was like peanut butter filling.
Yeah. It was a good episode about peanut
butter. Anyway, speaking of peanut butter filling,
this is probably the best.
It was very full of peanut butter, Ryan, because today we're going to be talking about
the best episode we've ever done.
It's in the top 10. This one's definitely getting into the Hall before he is.
Oh, man.
But today, boys, we're going to be talking about one Milton William Cooper, better known as Bill Cooper.
Ah, Bill Cooper. All right,
Billy Coops.
I just have to ask. I have to ask, Ryan, did you read Behold a Pale Horse when you were in prison?
So here's the funny thing. I knew... of at least two or three copies that were circulating around, and I had in my possession one of them. Well, it, so you say it wasn't like mine, it was like in my cell block, and I had it in my hands one day, and I remember like looking at it and like kind of like flipping through it. It seemed, excuse me to use this term, it seemed retarded. Like, it seemed like seriously somebody with special needs wrote this book.
It's pretty far out there. He, like, some of it, that's one of his more original works. He also would do a thing on his show called The Mystery Babylon, which was a 34-part series, or 43 hours of material he devoted to, that was sort of, like, about this unifying conspiracy theory that he mainly stole from, like, Manly P. Hall books.
Right.
Manly P. Hall, man. Oh, my God. I tried reading The Secrets of All the Ages, like, the whole thing. My brother thought I was crazy. I'm reading through it. Dude, impenetrable sometimes. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, you know?
I have a dumb question. Why did you specifically say, Ryan, did you ever read Behold a Pale White Horse in prison? As opposed to just saying, reading, hey, Ryan, have you ever read Behold a Pale White Horse? And I know in my head what the answer should be, but hit me, like, why you asked it like that specifically?
I asked because it's one of those books that they say that is always said to be one of the most circulated books in prisons. That they say that it is one of the most circulated books.
The 50 Laws of Power.
And that's
It's funny because yes, it's like the Laws of Power, Behold a Pale White Horse. The Art of War was another one that got circulated around a lot, and then somehow these assholes had the Protocols of the Elders of Zion as well.
Oh my god! Like,
I thought that was banned. I thought that was not a book that they were allowed to have, but it was the usual suspects that had that book.
Well, it's funny you mention that because within the original print copy of Behold a Pale Horse, chapter 15 is the Elder Protocols of Zion, but instead of editing it, he just has a thing in that you need to change out some of the words to say what it's really about, that it's not really about Jews. But he just has it in there, like, unedited with, like, an appendix at the front saying, like, yeah, you're going to have to do some word changes throughout, so just remember this while you're
reading. Oh, man.
Oh, God. It's crazy that it's just the way you asked that question really, like, fucking tickled the lizard part of my brain, like, reminded me that there was, like I said, obviously the usual suspects, but specifically a group of people that had these books, and while obviously there was a couple that were like, yeah, we're fucking Nazis, there were a couple of people that would swear up and down, like, no, we're not racist. We're just searching for the truth, you know? Like, all right, bro.
We're not racist, bro. We're just, you know, we're just looking. Just trying to get more information, you know.
You can't just believe
what every fucking soubrette seller in a Home Depot parking lot tells you, you know.
And also, listen, this is pre-JRE, okay? So these people were, like, legitimately just, like, mentally fucked in the head. This is before Joe Rogan had the opportunity to do the damage that he's done.
Yeah. It's also apparently very popular with rap musicians.
Rap musicians.
Really?
Yeah, and then a number of rap musicians, especially those who are members of the 5% Nation, will reference it.
Man, oh really?
Yeah,
I don't know what a 5%er is. I know what a 1% is.
A 5% Nation's like one of those weird, like black supremacist, like weird, like conspiracy groups.
Yeah,
it's like an offshoot of Islam. Like it's like Islam's like third cousin twice removed.
It's kind of like a Zen version of Islam, where they're expressly, they don't want to be called a religion. They are a spiritual philosophy and group.
Yeah. Cool. I don't want to be called a religion. However, I have people that worship at certain times. I have a holy book that we follow. We have rules, and we have everything a religion
has.
What did I say?
Did I stutter?
We're just a group of people who just...
Did I stutter?
The truth. They're searching for the truth.
Did I fucking stutter?
But like, Busta Rhymes was a member.
Busta Rhymes.
That tracks.
Every time I go, I gotta see. I gotta get him.
He's probably still a member. I haven't caught him. I haven't seen him at the meetings. So,
you've seen him at the meetings. Okay.
Yeah. but you know you're in for a good time when it's a religious group or pseudo religious group that's founded by a man named Clarence 13X.
Oh man, that's awesome! Fuck,
that's fucking.
Can I join it? Can I join it? Like today?
I don't know. Maybe
let's get in that.
They haven't gotten woke yet. DEI hasn't hit the black supremacist community.
Yeah, kind of ancillary. You know, it takes years for those changes to come through.
You know, Kanye is making inroads into the white power movement, so it's only a matter of time.
I will never understand.
He's not making inroads. Kanye was a figure.
He hasn't just jumped the shark. He has, like, jumped the shark and drowned in the ocean and become a fish lich and fucking turn your audience to only the evil people, you know?
Kanye has gills. That's all I'm saying.
Makes no sense. Oh, dude, that fucking shit where Trey Park and Redstone. Oh man, the fucking South Park thing, they like ruined his fucking life, man.
Just I love it.
One episode, he could not let it go.
It's fucking hysterical, dude. Like Barbara Streisand and the Streisand effect. Just let it go. Just let it go. You fucking yourself, just let it go.
Yeah, don't even mention it. Fuck them. They did it on purpose, allegedly, too, because they knew he was sensitive.
Oh yeah, because there's all those stories about him like blowing up.
Yeah.
And like even on the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, like Kim Kardashian would talk about him like he was a child.
Wow.
Like there's a clip where he wanted a Band-Aid and she didn't give him the right Band-Aid or whatever.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
You're supposed to give me the butterfly for my cutsies.
So we don't know very much about Bill Cooper's early life. A lot of
fucked up. That's what I'm gonna say.
The introduction to Behold a Pale Horse sort of has his in the foreword, it's just about himself. It's sort of autobiographical. He obviously lies a lot about his background. Yeah. He claimed that he served in the United States Navy, United States Air Force, and Naval Intelligence until he was discharged in 1975. But public record searches only indicate that he served in the Navy for a period with the code E5 or Sergeant Petty Officer Second Class in the Navy, and that he did a tour of duty in Vietnam with 2 service medals. We also know that at the end of the war, while working in Naval Intelligence, Cooper served on a briefing team for Admiral Bernard A. Clary. We don't know what he did. Like, he could have been just the guy that, like, straightened up the papers before, like, the admirals came in.
Right.
He could have been, like, the Ron DeSantis.
Cooper. Straighten up those papers and clean up the pee.
Yeah, a friend of mine, his dad was in the Air Force. And he said, like, he didn't understand it because his dad would talk about how stressful his job was. But all he did was, like, prepare the PowerPoints for the general or whatever. And it's like, I've seen, like, the PowerPoints they make. And they all look like dog shit.
That's a good who are like, this is the hardest job of my life. Dog shit PowerPoint riding on this. Yo. And then you see it, and it looks like a third grader made it. And you're like, bro, I could have done this in my fucking.
We gotta start that band, dude.
A drunken stupor, I could have put this together.
We gotta start that band. Fucking dog shit PowerPoints.
Fuck me, dude. This is you're paying them how much to do this, bro? I'll do it for half of that. What the fuck you mean? Give me a clearance and I'll make you a PowerPoint look so good it'll blow their socks off.
Now you sound like Now you sound like dog shit pencil points, bro. mafia version of dog shit PowerPoints is dog shit pencil points. Hey, what do you need, huh? I give you 6 slides, you crush it. You crush it.
We know that he worked, that he attended a junior college in California.
Whoa. What the fuck? I thought this was about Pete Rose.
It's not Pete fucking Rose, it's Bill Cooper, dog.
Okay, go ahead.
You know he attended a junior college in California?
Well, is Bill Cooper in the hall?
I mean, he's in some halls.
Oh no, that's not good.
He worked for several technical and vocational schools before he began peddling his conspiracy theories in 1988.
Those fucking VOTEC kids were always weird motherfuckers, you know?
He expanded.
This kid everyone's afraid of. Why is he cutting wood?
Make sure the guard's down, okay? Just make sure the guard's down.
Yeah, well, they went to school like an hour after us when I went. And, they would, like, we'd be walking back from, like, wherever we were, and you'd see them walking to class. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who are these latchkey motherfuckers?
Yeah, we had, like, a vocational program, but they were kind of like ghosts. Like, see, they'd say, like, oh, yeah, they got a mechanic shop or whatever. It's like, I've never seen them in there, and I've never seen anything, like, interacted with them.
Fucking Bigfoot motherfucker. I have clients like that at work. I've emailed them. I've tried. I've left voicemails for them for like a year. I just get convinced that they're not real people. They're just a conglomeration of secretaries. Like, this makes no sense. Oh, man. One of them tried. Two of my guys got told off by one guy. And I got to call him on Monday, right? And they both got told off by him. I've never heard this man speak in my life. He's like one of our clients. I have no idea. I don't believe he's real.
No, you're not real. I've never heard you speak, therefore you don't exist.
We had another lady who I'm pretty sure we were right, by the way. I think she was made up. She was like Sally Mae. Like, that's not a real bitch, you know? Like, every time you call, you like ask for her and be like, Mrs. Whatever, because she's unavailable, you know? Like, what? Who is this lady?
Like, Ghost Kitchen. It's like Ghost Lady. It's like, she doesn't actually exist. Yeah.
Ghost bitch.
You go to the office one day or whatever, and then, like, ghost you, like, bitch. Knock on her... You knock on her door and the door just like slowly opens as you knocking, it causes it to open. And it's just an empty office with a desk and a phone on top of it.
Ghost bitch. Ghost bitch. Ghost bitch.
Cooper's main early avenue of conspiracy theories was taking the work of earlier conspiracy theorists and incorporating government involvement with extraterrestrials as a central theme. In 1991, he wrote and published Behold a Pale Horse. The book was 91.
Dude, yeah, that's such a like pasty ass white bread year, you know? Like, who cares? Fuck 91, you know?
My first car was
fuck anything that came out of 91, you know? Like, name one good 91 thing.
My first car was pretty cool.
Nah, that should have died. Do you know you had like 107,000 miles on it? Three
dude, tires. It had 200,000 on it, and it was man. Running like a champ. It was an Acura Legend. That shit ran.
Oh yeah, you know what? Classic. I'm not gonna hate on that. That was well, we consider that more of a Polish guy car where I live. You know, we were down the street. There was this one guy, this one Polish kid who had the Acura Legend. Like, it's not Integra, it's Legend.
He's not
he's Acura Legend. Legend.
Dude, it was very ahead of its time. I had a 6 CD changer in the trunk, man.
Yes. Put it on. Put on the Kielbasa rock. Let's go. Ugh. 6 CDs of polka, bro.
The book itself had become influential within UFO and militia circles.
Yeah.
And just prior to the trial of Terry Nichols in 1997, The Guardian described it as, quote unquote, the manifesto of the militia movement.
You know what Terry Nichols' nickname was? Ghost bitch. Mm-hmm. Ghost bitch.
My favorite bit of trivia boy, ever is that what's his nuts? Timothy McVeigh was actually at Waco selling merch. He was selling fucking merch at Waco. That is my favorite bit of trivia. It's hilarious.
He was selling like bumper stickers, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Put this on your car so people know. I had a picture of
the bumper stickers he was selling, but like. Yeah, he was selling bumper stickers at Waco and watched it happen, and that's why there was such a big thing of like, oh, like it had this dude makes sense. Like this guy was like really like butthurt that the government went in there and killed all these people.
Butthurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff too that like other members of like the white power white nationalist movement sort of like helped him along, and that they only convicted like the two of them, but like. Pretty much every like major person in like the Pacific Northwest and like Western like white power movement like helped him in some way,
which makes sense. I'm sure that because I mean he was loosely affiliated him and Terry Nichols, so it's like to think that he just or the two of them just did it of their own volition without any help whatsoever from anybody else is insane. Like there's just no way.
It's the crazy thing about like the far right as opposed to the far left is that like people on the far left like all hate each other. Like they either secretly hate each other or they just outright hate each other for not being like their specific derivation of whatever like weird manifesto that only like 10 people in like Nicaragua actually follow.
Yeah, and, you like, don't have a particular flavor of racism, so I don't fuck with you.
And like the people in like the far right, like from all these different sort of ideological movements, like they all like work together like perfectly. It's insane. like the neo-Nazis working with the members of the Klan, working with like members of like the Christian Identity movement, working with like all these other groups that should be like fighting with each other. They're still willing to like partner up and like do things. Like they're obviously going to turn on each other at some point, but they at least wait until, you know, they've accomplished what they want to accomplish.
Yeah.
According to the sociologist Paul Gilroy, Cooper claimed, quote unquote, an elaborate conspiracy theory that encompasses the Kennedy assassination, the doings of the secret world government, the coming Ice Age, and a variety of other covert activities associated with the Illuminati's declaration of war upon the people of America.
That's exactly what I want on Kennedy? My tombstone, you know? Just that whole sentence. That's what it should say.
Really charge you by the word, right?
Yeah, well, if all those things are what's up, you know? What if it's real, you know?
Are we going to talk about the Kennedy assassination? It is the official view of the Trilateral Troika that it was a Secret Service agent in the car behind Kennedy that shot him by accident.
Possibly.
Because he was the rookie. He had that new, brand new issued AR. He got scared because he heard goddamn Lee Harvey shoot one off.
Mm-hmm.
His finger slipped and pop goes the president's head.
Yeah. He sort of waffled between Kennedy being like that being what killed Kennedy, and that also that he had been killed because he was going to like talk about the like he was going to go against the like the secret government and their agreement with the aliens, and that he had been killed by like a special device, but from the driver, and that's why the driver like looked back, you know, not because like the man he's supposed to be protected, you know, got his dome blown off.
Oh God!
But the political scientist Michael Barkin characterized it as "quote unquote" among the most complex super conspiracy theories, and also among the most influential due to the popularity in militia circles as well as mainstream bookstores.
I'm Mike Barkin. Sounds like an anger skit, you know, like on a fucking news story, like a news show. And now, yeah. Mike Barkin.
Imagine that or some sort of like Jimmy the Greek like figure.
Yeah. You know what really bothers me, folks?
You know, you can be right 53% of the time and wrong 47% of the time.
They let all these Shelbyville fuckers in our neighborhood. Keep them over there, I say.
Because you can still buy copies of Behold a Pale Horse, usually in like used bookstores. It's not like the Turner Diaries, where the only place you could have bought it was at like a militia event or a gun show.
Ugh, the Turner Diaries.
The historian Nicholas Goodrick Clark described the book as, quote unquote, chaotic farrago of conspiracy myths interspersed with reprints of executive laws, official papers, reports, and other extraneous materials designed to show the looming prospect of a world government imposed on the American people against their wishes and in flagrant contempt of the Constitution. Cooper would gain attention within ufology circles in 1988. When he claimed to have seen secret documents while in the Navy describing governmental dealings with extraterrestrials, a topic on which he covers in Behold a Pale Horse. His account is that he was a quote-unquote low-level clerk in the Navy, and that he would have that he would not have had the security clearance needed to look at the classified documents. But he claimed that when he was in the Navy that he would also like that he saw them like on a photocopier, like he wasn't supposed to see it. Uh-huh. Like someone had left the secret UFO files in the hopper for the copy.
Oh man, I did it again.
The government is run like the fucking office.
God damn it, Dean, go get it. Oh, I mean, no, there's probably the most media everywhere.
It's probably the most believable thing, because you always hear about the guys that like end up getting caught spying, like the guy that spied on the U.S. for Israel and was in prison until like Donald Trump got elected. Like, he was in prison for like close to 30 years.
Jesus.
And like he was just taking home like classified documents and like just leaving them at home. And he had like a giant suitcase full of like classified documents that his wife like gave to a neighbor right before like the FBI checked their house.
I mean, didn't our current Cheeto in Chief have all his fucking files in a goddamn bathroom?
Oh, yeah, he has all those files. I think they had to give them back to him when he became president again.
Oh, my God.
It's all been burned by now.
In the summer of 1988, Cooper made his first public comments on the Paranet Bulletin Board System, which was an early UFO message board, claiming that in 1966 he was serving aboard the USS Tiru when he and fellow Navy personnel witnessed a metal craft, quote-unquote, larger than a football field, repeatedly enter and exit the water. Cooper claimed that he was instructed by superiors to never speak about the incident.
Hey, Coop, keep it shut.
The biographer, Mark Jacobson, argues the Tiru incident itself would not have been, not have done much to make Cooper's name in ufology. That opportunity came only a few days later when he was contacted by fellow Paranet poster John Lear.
Oh, no.
John Lear is the son of Learjet founder Bill Lear, identified as a pilot who had flown missions for the CIA. Lear was the author of a post titled The UFO Cover-Up, which incorporated elements of the mythos from Paul Benowitz, who we talked about previously. And it was a ufologist who, as we talked about, was later revealed to have been fed disinformation by the American counterintelligence agent Richard C. Doty, who is still out there and has a show on Gaia TV still, I think. For those who don't know, Gaia TV is like a weird, like, conspiracy theorist, like pretty much gone, like, very QAnon. As much as that still exists. Yeah, it's like a streaming channel.
You better mention George Knapp at some point.
I mean, I don't think George Knapp, like, associated with him. Because Cooper didn't, like, associate with a lot of people. Because, one, he was, like, a huge asshole. And, two, it's very obvious he was, like, copying people. Like, the way he speaks is almost identical to Art Bell.
They had a fucking episode.
Art Bell was kind of cool. I liked his radio show.
He interviewed him.
Because they just had the very same cadence. And it sort of reminds me of what Alex Jones did early on, where he copied Rush Limbaugh's way of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper would soon...
West of the Rockies. Go ahead, caller.
Because he was also out west too. He was in Arizona. He was close to the New Mexico border in Arizona.
I miss Art Bell so much.
Damn shame.
Oh my God, it was some of the best shit ever. Just lulled me to sleep.
Cooper would soon visit with Lear, and the two would spend a lot of time together in 1988 to 1990.
Was it a time, like a Rumspringa, or was it, normal?
No, they're doing some, like, investigating. By that, I mean just, like...
Investigating each other a little bit there.
You know, a little bit of a hot summer.
God, yeah, landing that coupe and that Learjet.
Come on, Coop, let's go for a flight.
Oh, man.
I'm just imagining that ending from the Simpsons of Who Shot Mr. Burns, where Smithers wakes up and, like, Mr. Burns is coming out of the shower.
Yeah.
Cooper's views would be heavily influenced by Lear in a story of alien collusion with secret governmental forces. In 1989, the two would release a quote-unquote indictment against the U.S. government for quote-unquote aiding and abetting.
They're
and
indicting me.
This alien nation which exists in our borders.
I'm being indicted.
I did everything right, and they indicted me.
What a fucking asshole. My God. You know what? Let me say something real quick. You know, when we were younger, if a fucking politician acted like him when we were younger, they never would have got elected. Like, he is so incompetent. It's ridiculous.
They killed Howard Dean's campaign because he was too enthusiastic.
I know. No, bring that shit up on Chapo.
I heard, I went back and listened to that cheer again, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. Yeah, bro. I need no.
That's not why he didn't win, though. He didn't win because he said that you could be, against Israel, but not anti-Semitic, and that cost him the vote.
I mean, did he really say that?
Nah, but he should have, right? I mean,
oh, I was like, you know, shit.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Steve's out here making Howard D look like the goat.
You know what I'm saying?
Meanwhile, when this episode comes out, like, Howard D goes to start his car and it blows up.
Like, you could say that there's a genocide happening right now in Gaza.
He gets killed by the Zohan.
Oh, no. The Zohar.
My two hands just automatically went to make that Z. Just like in reflex to hearing Zohan.
The reflex is a lonely child.
In 2018, columnist Colin Dickey noted that the pair's influence writing, quote unquote, in the early years, UFO writers did not, by and large, embrace strong political positions.
That's true.
And they were the spear. The tip of the spear, asserting that the number one thing we had to fear was not little green men, but that the government was colluding with them, appropriating their technology against us.
I was told that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. But yeah, sure, I guess I'm
also afraid of technology
colluding against me.
Well, you know what, Ryan? The United States government made a deal with Gleep Glob and the rest of his people.
That does get left out a lot. I didn't know you wanted to go there.
That they're free to gang probe anyone they want, as long as, you know, we get the cure for cancer, you know, the death ray.
I'm doing the voice of that one guy. You ever see that one fucking Instagram meme? They walk up to that black guy and the guy goes, "How many genders are there?" And the black guy goes, "I don't know, I just got here."
I don't know, I just got here. Oh my god.
Because they're at like a concert.
Yeah.
And they just walk up. This dude's like obviously confused. Like, who the fuck is this person shoving a mic in my face? How many genders are there, sir? I don't know. I just got here.
Oh, fucking incredible.
The relationship between Lear and Cooper, though, would sour after a couple of years. Cooper would accuse Lear of being a CIA plant.
Like Andy Milonakis.
What?
I'm a CIA agent.
Oh my god.
Ufologists later asserted that some of the material that Cooper claimed to have seen in naval intelligence documents was plagiarized by Cooper from their own research, including several items that the ufologists had fabricated as pranks. Because remember, we had talked about before in other episodes that like the Majestic 12 documents were like elaborate fakes. There were fakes that the government would give out as misinformation. There were fakes that other ufologists would like give out to discredit their rivals. Mm-hmm. The whole Men in Black phenomenon was probably just, you know, like them pranking each other.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it'd be hilarious, but I don't know.
All I'm saying, Ryan, is you show up at my doorstep and you're like, "I got these classified documents for you, Steve. I'm gonna blow this thing wide open.
You want to take a look at them with me, bro?"
Don Ecker of UFO Magazine ran a series of exposés on Cooper in 1990. As soon as he sort of comes onto the field, he sort of wears out his welcome with the ufology community, as you can guess from like his way of accusing people. I don't know if it's as true now, but he was also a really bad alcoholic, and he was also incredibly abusive, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Tracks.
Cooper linked the Illuminati with his beliefs that the extraterrestrials were secretly involved with the United States government, but later retracted these claims.
Why?
Because when he sort of like got out of the UFO community, he sort of like saying that it was all just like misinformation from the government, that you shouldn't believe any of that you should believe his conspiracy theories and not these alien related ones.
Uh-huh. Nice.
It's kind of like a reverse like Alex Jones, where Alex Jones started off and he's just very much like, I'm in the like. I don't want to talk about aliens and stuff like that. And now, the worldview of Alex Jones makes like the ending of Evangelion look comprehensible.
You got to evolve, you know. Oh. Eventually, Madden football is going to have to become something else, because it's going to get to that point, you know, where it's just openly racist. You know,
we're going to reach critical mass at one point, and then they're going to have to. Then EA is going to go out of business.
EA Sports, we're getting sued. I can usually do that better. EA Sports. No, that was all right. That was all right.
He accused President Dwight D. Eisenhower of negotiating a treaty with extraterrestrials in 1954.
This guy negotiating with glukblaps.
Which supposedly allowed the aliens to abduct humans in exchange for technological assistance. Cooper then claimed that Eisenhower had established an inner circle of Illuminati to manage relations with the aliens and keep their presence a secret from the public.
Oh, fuck. Mm-hmm.
He believed the aliens, quote-unquote, manipulated and or ruled the human race through various secret societies, religions, music, witchcraft, and the occult, and that even the Illuminati were unknowingly being manipulated by them. Cooper described the Illuminati as a secret international organization controlled by the Bilderberg Group that conspired with the Knights of Columbus, Masons, Skull and Bones, and other organizations. I just appreciate, you know, he's including the Knights of Columbus. You know, they always forget those good Catholic men.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. My dad was in that trip. He didn't really give a fuck, I don't think, at all. But
he just wanted the pancakes?
Nah, it was just how they were raised, you know. His sword was upstairs in the attic. Cause he has his like dress saber or whatever, and it was upstairs in the attic, and nobody ever knew where it was. So we used to go up there rooting around. It's funny as hell. My brother would like run in there, interference while I was up there digging around for a fucking old sword. What a great story! Oh man, we used to always get caught too. Wow, get your ass down from there.
That probably would have broke the second you used it.
Yeah. Or you just try to pull it out and there's not even a sword inside the scabbard. It's just metal. It was glued metal to and the dust. Fucking handle. Yeah.
The goal of this Illuminati organization, he said, was the establishment of a new world order. Mm. According to Cooper, the Illuminati conspirators not only invented alien threats for their gain, but also actively conspired with extraterrestrials to take over the world. Cooper believed that James Forrestal's fatal fall from a window on the 16th floor of the Bethesda Hotel was connected to the alleged secret committee, Majestic 12, and that... I said Bethesda.
I know, I was doing like a Spanish accent there. Hey, Bethesda!
Oblivion. The JSON advisory group of scientists reported to an elite group of the Trilateral Commission and the Council of Foreign Relations executive committee members who were high-ranking members of the Illuminati.
Aha! The Trilateral.
The Troika.
Cooper also claimed that the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory forgery, The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, was actually an Illuminati work and instructed readers to substitute Zion with an S for Zion, Illuminati for Jews, and cattle for Goyim.
Oh.
They already do that now. They say the Illuminati or anything. They just really mean Jews. Although, you get those ones that they'll do that, but then you get the ones who are just very fucking out about it, and they'll just say the Jews, and then you have the somewhat undercover ones who put everything in, like, multiple parentheses.
Yeah. Just use really awkward ones, like, you know, rootless cosmopolitans. Yeah. You know. I think Alex Jones still just says globalists.
The globals.
The publisher removed the chapter that was a reproduction of the Protocols of Elders of Zion, as I mentioned, from later printings of Behold a Pale Horse. In Behold a Pale Horse, Cooper asserts that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated because he was about to reveal that extraterrestrials were in the process of taking over the Earth. According to a quote-unquote top-secret video of the assassination that he claimed to have discovered, the driver of the limousine, William Greer, used a quote-unquote gas pressure device developed by aliens from the Trilateral Commission to shoot the president from the driver's seat.
Incredible.
I'm going to clap him from the driver's seat.
The Zapruder film shows Greer twice turning to look into the back seat of the car. Cooper theorized that Greer first turned to assess Kennedy's status after the external attack and then to fire the fatal shot. These conspiracy theories implicating Greer reportedly snowballed after the publication of Behold a Pale Horse.
Oh, no.
Cooper's video, though, purporting to prove his theory, was analyzed by several television stations, according to one source, and it was found to be, quote-unquote, a poor-quality fake using chunks of the Zapruder film. And behold, a pale horse. Cooper proposed that Abe's...
Chunks didn't appreciate that nickname, you know?
What do you mean?
Said Chunks.
You know, Vegeta's other son, Chunks.
We named the dog Indiana.
And behold, a pale horse as well. Cooper proposed that AIDS was the result of a conspiracy to decrease the populations of blacks, Hispanics, and homosexuals.
That's probably more advanced than RFK's proposition, which is that we don't know why AIDS happened.
I mean, we're probably going to see a video of his office. So this is going to be one of the books on his bookshelf.
Dude, I walked into my local Barnes and Nobles because apparently Barnes and Noble has the best selection of Lego. Don't tell everybody because keep this on the low, but they have like a ton of like really hard to find adult sets. Okay. But I walked in there.
My buddy got the Home Alone Lego one.
Yeah, from Barnes and Noble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude. It's
like
great.
It's like $200.
Yeah. So, but I was walking back to where I saw on one of the shelves, the entire bookshelf that was like on display was like three different Jordan Peterson books. And I was just like, bro, get the fuck.
I usually just go and turn them around when I'm in bookstores, do my little part.
I just move them to fiction.
Yeah. I like to do that with Ayn Rand too. Just like move her shit, put it in like the back of the bookshelf behind like the wrong fucking lettering system.
I got like a write up when I was in high school, because I moved all the Bibles because nice. I had like the teen Bibles. I moved them all to fiction.
I openly like do that shit at my wife's dentist. He's got like the fountain. He's got Ayn Rand up there, up on the, like a bookshelf in there. There's some good books there too, but then he's got like fucking Fountainhead or whatever, and I'm just like this asshole. So every time I go there, I just face those books in the other direction. It's like a big stack of books. I just turn those around. Somebody put them back, by the way. I'm just saying. And somebody put them back.
Yeah, probably the nurse who has to tidy up the office. It's just like, God damn it. In 2000, South Africa's Minister of Health, Manto Tshibala Misfung, received criticism for distributing the chapter discussing the theory to senior South African government officials.
Kukamba.
From 1992 until his death in November of 2001, Cooper would host his radio show, The Hour of the Time, from a studio in his house at the top of a hill in the small White Mountains town of Agar, Arizona.
Tell me there is a fucking archive of this fucking lunatic.
Oh yeah, it's probably all on archive.
Oh my god.
Behold a Pale Horse is on archive.
I'm good.
I
got enough Cooper, fake books to read.
Cooper sent his show via audio cassette, satellite patch, or direct telephone link to WWCR in Nashville, where it was broadcast by the station's 100,000 watt shortwave transmitter.
Wow. That is a lot of fucking watts. As a amateur operator here,
as our resident radio knowledge guy, how many watts is a normal watts?
Well, the most. No, I mean it depends what you're talking about, but the most I can put out is 1,500, and that's a lot.
And he's got 10,000.
That's 100,000. That's
100,000.
That's a lot. Like if I put out 1,500, I have to have a 30-foot tower out back. I've got to have an amplifier hooked up. It's probably $4,000 in freaking radio equipment.
We could probably pick that up here.
It's serious stuff, right? 1,500? 1,500, you could pick it up in Pittsburgh.
No, 100,000. I'm pretty sure 100,000
watts.
Pick it up in like Brazil.
Oh, we could pick that up right here. Oh, absolutely, dude. There's a fucking, that's like, I don't know how much it is. I think it's 50,000 WFAN. Because I would drive from New York City all the way to South Jersey, and then like into Delaware, and I could still pick up WFAN Sports. Fucking crazy.
Mark Poddick, a spokesman for the Southern Poverty Law Center, said Cooper was well known within the militia movement for his anti-government shortwave radio program.
Nice.
Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh was reportedly a fan of Cooper's.
One more comment. I would much rather have loonies like that on shortwave, broadcast shortwave, than the shit we have now, which is 100% overseas stations or hyper-Christian tithers. Like, no. The worst Christianity you can imagine. And no, it's fucking weird. If you turn it on in the middle of the night, it will just be station after station of just someone sitting in a fucking dank-ass room praying to Jesus with you on the short waves. Like, fucking just so absolutely weird. Ridiculous. Oh, and it's that terrible shit, too. You've got to tithe. If you don't tithe, God says he'll... Well, it won't give you anything. Nothing. It's like fucking ridiculous, dude. It's creepy.
It was reported by the Daily Beast that McVeigh had ordered the cassette tape Waco the Big Y from Cooper, which was
a tape that he marketed.
Waco order cassette tape about Waco the Big Lie. He was fucking there, as established earlier.
It didn't happen though.
Yeah, but he needs the footage of the flamethrower tank to really drive it home. You know, he needs the close up, hard hitting footage.
Oh my god, there wasn't a fucking flamethrower tank, you dumb bitch. Anyway,
it's the cheapest drug there is.
Cooper would broadcast conspiracy theories on the Waco siege in early 1993, which he believed had been the opening battle in a new civil war.
Oh my god.
He later participated in the early radio shows of Alex Jones, who was an admirer of his broadcasts.
Do you remember how much coverage Waco got?
It was pretty crazy.
I specifically remember being on the TV just constantly.
It was everything. It was fucking everything, dude.
You know, because Janet Reno said we got to sacrifice these children to Satan, so let's kill the second coming of Christ.
Yeah, and she, you know, she didn't have a sun rail like DeSantis. You know, where he wants souls, yeah. He can just turn the schedule a little. Yeah, my Casey needs to get more campaign dollars. I need more souls. Go ahead and switch the 3 p.m. train out. Put in the
I'm ringer. Telling you, man, the grossest
turn
thing
up,
about Waco.
Turn up the F-150 magnet.
Yeah.
The grossest thing about Waco is that the fucking ATF hoisted their flag over this compound after they burnt it to the ground and killed all those people inside. Like, that's what's gross to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, had you just done the professional thing, you know, taking people out of there, it is what it is, it burns down, sorry, loss of life, exposure, whatever, whatever. But you hoisted the fucking ATF flag over the compound like a bunch of marauding fucking raiders.
Yeah,
you're disgusting, you're unprofessional, and go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
He's been wanting to say that around. For years now, like 30 years.
Yeah, literally 30 years.
On June 28th, 2001, commenting on a televised interview with Osama bin Laden at his hideout in Afghanistan, Cooper claimed that Bin Laden would soon be blamed for a major attack on a large U.S. city, but don't you believe it?
More like...
When did Cooper say that?
In June 28th of 2001.
That's the year Dr. Dre came out. Chronic.
That's... Okay, but for not for nothing, Chronic that too. Is kind of crazy if he said that in June of 2001.
Well, the thing about Bin Laden is that...
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Leading up to that, there had been... There have been a lot of news coverage of him.
Bin Laden like biddies here, you know,
because he had attacked the embassy in Kenya, in Nairobi. Right.
That's not what happened. He didn't attack it. He said Kenya attack it, and they said yeah.
and like the Clinton administration was very intent on like killing him, and then when George W. Bush came in, they're like because their whole plan was we're going to do the opposite of whatever the Clintons did. So right. He's like, yeah, we're not going to bother with that. We don't care about him.
We're not going to bother with them.
They were more focused on ginning up a war with China, essentially, that they wanted to start a new Cold War with China.
Yeah, but still, to say in June of the same year that 9/11 happened, right?
Mm-hmm. It's one of those Obama's, things.
Or Osama bin Laden is going to attack an American city sooner. He's going to be blamed for an attack soon. It's like, that's kind of crazy. Like, it's one of those old, like, I'm predicting that it's going to rain. I live in Florida.
Well, he already did. He already did in the 90s because the World Trade Center, not the World Trade Center, the UN parking garage bombing.
Was that bin Laden too?
Yeah, that was Al-Qaeda.
Okay. So what would make him think that he was going to do it again?
Well, I think it was just like Alex Jones does this. And it's sort of this thing where if somebody big is in the news or something like that is happening, you just constantly keep on saying it because these guys are on radio for like 6 hours a day. And then you keep saying these things so that when something does happen, you can go back to what you said and be like, see, I'm prescient. I knew this was going to happen. Like, but I saw this all coming.
So you basically just say every kind of conceivable situation at some point during your fucking 23-hour radio show.
Because it's like what Alex Jones does, where he'll say, like, that he predicted 9/11. It's a similar thing where he said that there'll be an attack.
You know, I predicted that.
And then he'll come back and he'll selectively edit it and put it with some other things and see. So, yeah, this is what the globalists don't want you to know. This is what's going on.
Interesting. I'm glad that you do the groundwork, that you put in the hours of research to listen to Alex Jones to figure out what the fuck he's doing, because Lord knows I couldn't.
Well, the guys at Knowledge Fight do all the heavy lifting, but
oh my god, hats off to them.
But yeah, that's like a standard thing that they do, and that they'll come back around and they'll say like, "See, I was right," and then idiots like Joe Rogan will be like, "Yeah, you know, he was right, because in that clip he said that a thing would happen, and the thing happened, so obviously he's right."
Yeah, and then they would just bring the same guy on all the time. I just want to give a shot to Big Dog here with the theory, very good theory.
Immediately after the attacks on September 11th, he predicted the U.S. would soon be at war in two or maybe three countries.
Oh my god.
He began broadcasting the quote-unquote controlled demolition conspiracy theory on the day of the attacks, which eventually became a center of 9/11 conspiracy theories. As Cooper moved away from the ufology community and toward the militia and anti-government subculture in the late 1990s, he became convinced...
You know what my 9/11 conspiracy is? It's that the country was just that unorganized. Do you know
what
I mean?
That's not a conspiracy theory, though.
Yeah, but no, but if you ask either side that, they're not going to say that. Like, there's something going on, you know? There's always some kind of, like, very specific thing. But, like, just that's how scarily unprotected our nation was anyway.
Well, yeah, because they all don't.
We were very flippant about a lot of things that we thought we were the best, no one was going to ever happen to us.
And all it took was one major, like, you know, heavily researched, you know, event. That was it. I mean, it wasn't like they were just like dumbasses that went in there and did that.
There's, you know, what, 320 million people or 330 million people in this country. All it took was, what, 13 dickheads with box cutters to entirely alter the course of history of this country.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's
fucking insane to think about.
It's insane to think about that was because we were that weak.
And you know what? Where I really fault everything is some dickheads at Boston's Logan International Airport letting this shit fucking slide through with the goddamn box cutters and having no goddamn security to speak of whatsoever. And I get it. I understand the times. But bro, fuck you, you assholes. If Mark Wahlberg was there that day, there's no way those terrorists would have fucking hijacked
him. Nah, it would have been worse. All right. I like your cause. Sounds good.
Actually, it would have been fine because none of the terrorists were Vietnamese, so they
would. Which one do we do first? Well, I don't want to be on Tower 13, though.
Maybe he would have been confused at first.
Just I don't know, like, Ahmed. That's not that? Really pump up the jam.
What's that? What's that? What's that Vietnamese guy doing over there?
You guys want to come help me go get this guy?
Uncle Benny, I heard you being a little bit rude.
Come on. Oh, you even brought your own weapon with you. Come on, you can help me.
Now he's
Come
now
on,
he's a trap.
You're Vietnamese. Now. You know what I do to Koreans already? It's on Wikipedia. forever, for life, bro.
But as Cooper begins sort of mixing in with the militia and anti-government,
I wouldn't have a problem with Mark Wahlberg if he wasn't such a fucking sanctimonious dickhead. Correct. You ever watch him on fucking Instagram and shit? Like, this guy is fucking piece of shit. I wake up at 5 every day, bro, and I fucking
look good, feel good. My favorite bit is that this one comedian, Daniel Van Kirk, would do impersonations of him, do really good. They always had bits about how like Donnie was working in the kitchen of the club or something like that.
All right, how you
Donnie's
doing?
Out, Tony, Tony's out back parking cars. Told him he's got to finish up the shift before we can go.
Hey, I need those flames out for that flambe.
But Cooper, as he begins sort of becoming immersed in the world of the militia and anti-government movement of the late 1990s, he becomes convinced that he's being personally targeted by President Bill Clinton and the Internal Revenue Service.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's he also good band name.
He also advertises. He also on his show would advertise different services that would promise to get you out of paying income tax. He himself would subscribe to some of these views. I don't think he went fully with one of the groups because they've been doing the Mystery Babylon thing on Knowledge Fight, and they do play some of the advertisements, and one of them is for this agency that says that they'll get you out of paying income tax.
Yeah,
and it's really weird too. Because the bumper music for the show is from The Simpsons Sing the Blues.
Hollywood.
I feel like you should be able to report those companies or those agencies to the IRS, and you should get a reward for that.
No, they are very much aware of them, and they're trying to like shut them down. It's just the fact that despite what conservatives say, the IRS is like very like toothless most of the time.
Well, yeah, that's on purpose. It's on purpose. They fucking cut their budget every fucking year. It's ridiculous. It's like the most profitable wing of the government by far, and they fucking don't give them any money, and they cut their budget. It's ridiculous.
But Cooper, though, this is the first sort of instance of him doing it. On February 28th, 1993, on his show, he sort of gave his justification for not paying taxes.
Oh, so he admitted it. He admitted it.
Well, no, it's just that he's saying this is his hack of why he doesn't have to pay income tax.
He's a sovereign citizen.
And this is one of the weirder attempts was that it was as part of paying voluntary taxes under 26 Code of Federal Regulations 31.3402P. This section begins, an employee and his employer may enter into an agreement under section this to provide for the withholding of income tax. So most people, including tax lawyers, realize that the may enter in the sentence pertains to automatic tax withholding by employers, not the payment of taxes in total.
Right.
So Cooper contended that, quote unquote, that since the money was not going to the employer, but rather to the government, the phrases voluntary and may enter carried legal significance.
I can't stand these nitpicky rules lawyers assholes, but go ahead.
So in July of 1998, it finally catches up with him, and he's charged with tax evasion. An arrest warrant is issued for him, but he eludes their attempts to serve it to him. In 2000, he was named a major fugitive by the United States Marshals Service.
Wow.
And not a cool fugitive like Harrison Ford, but like a dickhead fugitive.
But the thing
like
is,
Andrew Tate.
So he's openly refusing to pay taxes, and they've charged him with tax evasion. And according to federal authorities, he spent years trying to avoid capture on a 1998 arrest warrant for tax evasion, and quote unquote vowed that he would not be taken alive, which is something he would say on his radio show.
You'll never take me alive, coppers.
He made it known that any attempt to arrest him for anything, regardless of how minor it was, such as assaulting a local man with a wrench and not paying taxes, would be met with armed resistance, which will come back because that was part of the thing that mitigated his like death.
Cooper died by suicide by cop?
Yes.
Suicide by cop.
He had broadcast on his show threats to, quote unquote, kill any law enforcement officers that tried to take him. And police suspected that he had a large quantity of weapons and possibly explosives in his house due to his ties to the militia movement.
Right. Yeah.
So this whole time, the feds don't want to like touch him. Like they know, they obviously know where he is. Like he's obviously at his house, like doing his dickhead radio show. But nobody wants to serve these warrants because they're afraid of what's going to happen. They don't want another Waco. They don't want to make a martyr out of this leader guy in the militia movement.
The same reason with Ruby Ridge and all that other bullshit.
Yeah. What happens is on November 5th, 2001, Apache County Sheriff's deputies attempted to arrest him at his home on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and endangerment stemming from disputes with local residents. And I believe they talked about it on Behind the Bastards. I couldn't find the source for it, but I've heard that one of the reasons why they did this was that it was related to his daughter and his wife.
Fuck's and his that daughter. Who the fuck's his daughter?
No, just his daughter that he has. She's nothing special about her. But then she's like she's a teenager who still lives at the home.
Like still to this day.
Nothing special
I don't know to this day, but the point is that the sheriff decided that he felt that he was pushed to act because if he did he was afraid that Bill Cooper was gonna murder his daughter or his wife.
He's gonna off the motherfuckers, you need to get over here.
Wait, so Bill, I didn't know that this is a Bill, that this is what happened.
Bill.
Hostage situation? Like, did he take his wife and daughter hostage? Bill,
what the fuck happened? Bill. What happens is that they, on that day, on November 5th, what they do is they lure him out of his home by using a car park nearby playing loud music. So Cooper
that's
being
the
like
first
this,
time
they
played Journey.
Being the dickhead he is, he comes out and he exchanges gunfire with the deputies.
Oh, no.
He shoots one of the deputies in the head, as the deputy survived, and Cooper is fatally shot.
God damn.
Wow.
That is the end of one Milton William Cooper.
Yeah.
Just nothing of value,
right?
No. That's such an unceremonious end, bro.
Yeah,
I didn't know that's how he went out.
Yeah, he essentially the police, the sheriff's deputies tricked him using the ultimate like how to get an angry middle-aged white man out of the house. They probably just put on some loud rap music. He ran out there with
they
his
got
gun.
That NWA on there out there. I gotta go out there now.
How could we piss him off like Clint? How could we piss Clint Eastwood off right now? Let's just do that.
Yeah, I don't think he can. You know, he's always constipated. So he can't, like, when you're constipated, by the way, you don't realize it, but you are the angriest you've ever been, you know? Like, just a little. Like, people think, oh, I was just in a lot of pain. No, you were fucking pissed because you can't get that thing out. Oh, my God. The worst.
It's just Terminator running out the door.
Your parents are dead. Oh shit. Oh, right, well, fuck Bill awesome. Cooper and fuck you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.